Well, now you have my map of relationships in your hand, and now the choices are yours. Let me share some answers to questions that many before you have asked. People ask me about the University of Life, as they often put this right ahead of them. Well, I remember it well, and it took a long time for me. I think it starts with a solid awareness in both partners that what is now going on isn't working for either of them. An awareness that they have to try something new. I believe to keep going, you need two things. Panic and commitment. That may sound funny, but you need to feel panic that the biological dream is not yet alive in you. And you need to feel commitment to go forward together to get it. I had to learn a lot that my parents didn't and couldn't teach me. No one had taught them. I often say, my parents, doing their very best, did a fairly poor job of raising me. I had to become an expert at many things, many subjects, many skills they didn't know. I tell people who are in the power struggle and who want to go on after the biological dream, I tell them, what you are doing now is earning what you have in the way of a relationship. You have to learn to do things differently. I learn from many sources, and so can you. Remember that the original 4% from that outcome study had no help at all. But now there are lots of books and seminars, workshops and courses out there. I have not reviewed all of them. I have learned a lot from Harville Hendrix's Imago Relationship Therapy, both the workshops and the in-office therapy. There are hundreds of his therapists and workshop presenters out there willing to help you. I learned a great deal from John Bradshaw, whose books helped me visualize much of the work I had to accomplish. Now, so many books are self-help books and not relational. I like to think that self-help books are about how to live on a desert island, but alone. Yet everything about the biological dream is about getting along with others, because that is the need of the self. Relational books are about what you need to know when someone else swims ashore and starts to live with you on your desert island. Some of the most critical skills of relational maturity aren't being taught anywhere that I can find. As a result, I'm putting that material together myself and will make it available at my website. Most of what you have to learn are skills. I think of skills as habits, things you do automatically without thinking. A new skill is hard to do for the first, say, 50 times, only a little difficult for the next 100 times, and after that simply becomes automatic. Since skills are trainable, visible, and measurable, I believe you can measure your success as you advance. I think relational maturity is easy to see and even can be objectively measured. One of the problems facing you is the difference between normal North Americans and vintage lovers. You will have to become willing to be a bit abnormal. Another problem is that there are many people out there who are teaching non-functioning traditional family skills. Teaching traditional family skills that don't work. Skills that are in conflict with the biological dream. I suggest you beware of those teachers and authors who haven't reached vintage love themselves, but are willing to tell you how to do it. If their style and behavior conflicts with the biological dream, I suggest you stay away from them. Look for teachers who can show you what it looks like. Besides, I don't think you need books very much. I think you need direction in what to practice. Most of what I needed were new skills and help at removing old, useless, or destructive skills. One of the challenges each of us face is that relationships are not an intellectual nor a spectator sport. Great relationships involve work, doing things that you're not inclined to do, practice, practice, and more practice. In my office, I sit right in the entryway to the University of Life. I assist couples to get firmly into those courses. I teach them all the freshman classes and share about the advanced classes if I can. Every couple I meet presents one single problem. They are using threat in an attempt to get love in their life. They are threatening their partner, whether they know it or not. They are usually living with threat from their partner and are untrained to do anything about it. As safety is the first principle of the biological dream, threat never works. I've learned that love and threat cannot coexist. Period. The University of Life has many courses, and I think all are necessary. There's a first line of Leo Tolstoy's wonderful book, Anna Karenina, and that first line is, "Happy families are all alike. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way." I like that quote. It points to a wonderful principle. Vintage love implies that you've learned all your lessons. Miss one, and it doesn't matter which, you'll be in trouble. This is why so many of all the courses in books, seminars, or TV don't work. They point to the solution of one problem, but you will need to learn all the lessons. Many people get the feeling that learning is endless. Fortunately, there are, in my opinion, a finite number of courses and problems to solve. It is doable. Let's take a look at the five most common problems that people present me. Being together, arguing, control, hurt, and lying. These, I believe, must be solved to get to vintage love. Remember that each of these paragraphs that I'm about to give represent all or part of a course and just a part of the curriculum in achieving relational maturity. Most couples have a problem with reliable membership that simply tears them apart. One of them needs membership or intimacy much more than the other does. The needy one pursues, clings, interrogates, pushes. Their partner, having a lower need for intimacy, feels pursued, clung on to, pestered, driven, and thus starts to withdraw. But by withdrawing, they trigger their partner into pursuing and clinging harder. And the cycle goes on. This problem gets bigger and bigger with more and more passion and panic, one wanting more contact, the other wanting more space. I'd say this is a problem in about 85% of the couples I see, and it must be solved. In my relationship, I was the needy one, and Sandra was the one I used to drive away. Almost all couples who enter my office have what I call a type 2 communication problem. By the way, a type 1 problem means that they can't hear each other. But with a type 2 communication problem, they listen to each other until a disagreement appears, and then they stop listening and start arguing. For these people, disagreement prevents communication. Since arguing and interrupting are so common in our culture, many people don't consider this a kind of fighting. But the effect on the relationship is enormously negative. I believe firmly that, from the point of view of a relationship, arguing is the verbal form of physical violence. Just as arguing leads to violence, violence leads to more and more violence, so also some verbal habits lead to arguing. Arguing can and must be replaced by different and quality communication. A significant majority of couples present me with their control problems. It seems that a large number of us are, shall I say, brainwashed in youth to believe that there are lots of rights and wrongs in life, and that we can relax if we're doing it right, and need to be tense if we're doing it wrong. I found the issue is not about what is right or wrong, but that the individual becomes anxious when in the face of things out of place. Such a person tries to relax themselves by putting things into order, the order they have selected to believe in. Sandra and I call these rules. She has a large set, I have another set. A rule is a way of doing things which relaxes an individual. Sandra relaxes when cupboard doors are closed in the kitchen. I relax when the computer is turned off methodically. We both relax when a room is picked up and clean. These are some of our rules. A control problem occurs when I leave cupboard doors open, or Sandra turns off a computer at the wall switch. What we do causes our partner to tense and they try to relax by changing us. One of the major sources of lowered tension, or of safety, is to have a sense of control. In a couple, this is a special problem, where one often tries to relax by taking control away from the other, who then tenses. It is a great learning how to keep both partners relaxed, with a sense of control for both, at the same time. An amazing number of people believe themselves responsible for other people's pain. I found this belief in protecting people from pain just doesn't work. One of the things I found out was that people learn when they're in pain. When everything's going well, they tend to remain asleep to what they can learn in life. If I look back, most of the great things I've learned have come from times of pain. Thus, I've learned that protecting adults from pain, especially the pain they earned themselves, isn't very useful. It tends to keep them in a state of ignorance. But at the same time, it is quite a skill to be available to a partner when they are in pain and let them feel it fully. Another major problem is that people do not tell each other the truth that they see. They lie. They say that which is not so. However, the most common form of lying is what I call passive lying, not saying the truth and just being silent. I had to develop a definition of lying that would cover both active and passive lying, and here it is. To knowingly leave someone in a state of misunderstanding about something that you believe is important to them. I found that people lie and that people are silent for only one reason. I found that people lie because it is not safe to tell the truth, and people are quiet because they don't think it is safe to speak. Learning how to make it safe for your partner to tell the truth, or to feel safe to speak, leads both of you to hearing the truth in a safe way. This is one of the first courses in the University of Life. My most asked question is, can you get to vintage love without a dedicated partner? And my answer is no. Yes, you can learn lots of the theory and concepts without a partner. You can practice the skills a bit, too. You can audit a course in piano playing and learn a lot, but you have to put your hands on the keyboard. Relational maturity can only be learned in a relationship. You need a selected and dedicated partner to give you both the practice and give you a reason to practice. You need a dedicated partner to give you the continuity of a good audience to help you develop yourself and your self-esteem. You need a dedicated partner to create a world separate and distinct from that of the normal society. You need a selected partner to heal the deep wounds you received in childhood. Wounds are peculiar. I believe all wounds are wounds of relationship, that is, which occurred in a relationship and can only be healed in a relationship. The ideal person to help you heal is the one who created the wound. However, I believe the mind is able to accept a reasonable facsimile of the original wounding person. Fortunately, you will always fall in love with a reasonable facsimile. You need to work as lab partners, sometimes leading, sometimes supporting, taking turns. I think this is all necessary if you don't want to live alone on a desert island.